Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 22 and verse 19. Luke 22 and verse 19. And he, the Lord Jesus, took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Do you see there in verse 19 at the very end, he said, "This do in remembrance of me." Our Lord Jesus Christ is so gracious to give us this ordinance to remember him. To remember him. You would think that sinners for whom he's done so much, you would think that we together here as believers for whom he's done everything, you'd think we wouldn't need to be reminded of him, that we would remember him. But we do, don't we? We do. Dust is easily moved by the wind, and that's what we are in our flesh, is just dust. And we need to constantly be reminded of what he's done for us, what he's doing as we walk through this world, to remember him, to truly remember him. We forget. Just as soon as we hear the gospel, we begin to forget. Some little distraction that doesn't have anything that's of no importance whatsoever enters in and starts taking away everything we've heard. Every kind of earthly distraction. And we don't put up much of a fight to resist it. And yet the Lord promises us, he said, "Behold, I've graven you upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. I won't forget you. I won't forget you." And so, just in case that we let these things slip, these things that we hear, this gospel, this good news, he gives us this ordinance to turn us to him, to make us have something to think upon, to remember him by continually. "This do in remembrance of me." I want you to see here, this one we're remembering is Christ. And I want to show you three things that we're remembering that he is. The first thing we remember is Christ is our worthiness. Christ is our worthiness. I'm talking about worthiness to come into the very presence of God, holy God. Secondly, remember Christ is our life. Christ is our life. And thirdly, remember Christ is our communion with each other. Our communion with each other. Let's see these three things. First of all, Christ is our worthiness. He's our worthiness altogether, our worthiness. How so? How is he the worthiness of his child, the worthiness of a believer? How is that? It's very simply put right here in this ordinance. It's just so simple. And exactly what he did when he instituted this ordinance, he's showing us what he did to make his child worthy and accepted of God. Look at what he did, verse 20. He took bread. He took bread. He tells us here that the bread and the wine represent his flesh and his blood. That's what Christ did. He took bread. The children were flesh and blood. And God the Son came down. He came to where his children were in this world of sin, and he took flesh and blood. He took our the likeness of our sinful flesh. He took flesh and blood. He's the Son given. God gave His Son. He's the child born. He's God and He's man. He's the God-man. All God and all man. God-man. Holy, spotless, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, is Christ Jesus our High Priest. That's something to remember. His holiness, the Holy One, the Holy Man, that's God, Christ Jesus, come. The psalmist said, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." His holiness. And then look what He did. He gave thanks. Who did He give thanks to? He gave thanks to His Father. He gave thanks to His Father. When our Lord came into this earth, the whole time that He walked this earth, from beginning till the time He said, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost, His whole life, His entire life, was giving thanks to the Father. He gave to the Father exactly what God deserves. Holy obedience. Perfect obedience under the law. He gave God all the glory as He walked this earth. He gave God a perpetual offering up of Himself, a faithful submission, faithful righteousness unto God. He gave that offering to God continually. That's who He is. That's what His life is on behalf of His people, for His people. And then look what He did. And He broke it. He broke that bread. And He poured out that wine for them. And that's exactly what He did. He did it. He broke it. He poured it out. Christ Jesus willingly laid down His life. He willingly took the form of a servant. He willingly gave Himself into the hands of wicked men. He willingly took the sin of His children upon Himself. He willingly suffered under the justice of God on the cross in their room instead. He willingly broke the body and poured out the blood of His own life. And then look what He did. And gave unto them, saying. He gave unto them, saying. You know who assembled all of these children that were at His table? You know who assembled them there that night at His table? He did. He brought them, everyone there. And you know what He did to them? He taught them what this ordinance meant. And what this ordinance means is the gospel. He taught them what He did. And the picture here, we see it, of the way He assembled them and He taught them, and what He taught them is just exactly what Christ Jesus, the King and Head of His Church, is doing, the Prophet, Priest, and King in this earth. He's gathering all of His children to His table, right here in this earth. And He's sitting us down at His table, and He's teaching every one of us what He has done, the fullness of what He has done and accomplished on our behalf. He says in verse 19, saying, "This is My body, which is given for you in your place." My body given for you. Look, verse 20. "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you." Remember this, brethren. Christ is our Lamb. There is no coming to God without a Lamb. There's no coming to God without a Lamb that has been slain. Our body of sin, our body of death, has got to be broken. It's got to be broken. It's got to be put into the grave. It's got to be put away. Our life has got to be laid down. The Scripture says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. That's what God demands. There is no remission, no putting away of sin without the shedding of blood. You and I can't die and at the same time live of ourselves. We can't do that. It's an impossibility for us. But this one who is God and man in one person, he can, and he has. He laid down his life for his children, for his people. Christ is the Lamb who gave his life for those that the Father gave to him. And in Christ, all that he died for were justified when he did that, from all sin, purged from all sin, made righteous before God by what he did. You remember that prodigal son? You remember when they brought him there and they put the robe on him? The Father said, bring forth the best robe and put on him. That's Christ our righteousness. He's the best robe. The best robe. And God has woven that robe and he puts it on every one of his children that he brings to know this good news. He puts it on them. Remember, Christ is our covenant. Look at verse Hebrews 9:11. Hebrews 9:11. Christ is our covenant. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. The New Testament. The new covenant. The everlasting covenant. The covenant of God made with his people. This is the New Testament in my blood. Covenant promise. That covenant made before the world began. Between the triune God and Christ. Look at verse 15. Hebrews 9:15. He is the mediator of the New Testament. Of the everlasting covenant of grace. He's the one who brings it from God down to his people. This good news. And he's the one who in the same glorious person has fulfilled everything that was written and brings his people up to God. He's the one who does. He's the mediator between God and men of this everlasting, ever eternal covenant of grace. That by means of death, that's his blood, the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that first covenant we saw broken in the garden in Adam, we saw that Thursday night in Genesis 3, we God's children, died in that covenant. The transgressions that Adam committed is the transgression we committed. But Christ came and redeemed us from those transgressions. And it says here that that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. When he calls, when he gathers his child to his table and teaches us in his heart, he teaches us that this promise is everlasting. This inheritance is eternal. He tells us this in our heart. Behold, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, in loving kindness, I've drawn you. I've drawn you. Christ is the covenant for his people. Christ is the fulfillment of the everlasting covenant for his people. And Christ is the promise given in our hearts. You remember that prodigal son? When they brought him there and they put that ring on his finger? That ring that never has an end to it, never has an end to it. He said, this is the covenant in my blood. Everlasting, never-ending love. That's the covenant. And Christ is our resurrection. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:26 that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. That means he rose from the dead. He's coming again. We're showing his death. We're remembering his death in this. But we're remembering he rose and he is our life, our resurrection. You just think about this now. Here's our work. Here's the believer's worthiness. In Christ, by what he's done, the believer has lived a thoroughly holy life from the womb all the way until death. In Christ. In Christ Jesus, we fulfilled all the covenant promises. Every promise that Christ made to God to fulfill, That's what His children have fulfilled. We have fulfilled it in Christ. He fulfilled it. God didn't leave any. He left it in the hands of Adam in the beginning to show us He can't leave anything in our hands to make good on a promise from us. And He sent forth the last Adam, His Son, and He fulfilled everything. And His people have fulfilled all our end and obligation in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we died the death required of holy justice. And in Christ Jesus, we're risen at the right hand of the Father and seated there with Him right now in glory. Now, you remember they put shoes on the feet of that prodigal son when he came back? This good news of Christ and what He's accomplished for us, this is the shoes on our feet. This is what keeps us walking. This is what keeps us going. Maybe not always at the same pace, but always in the same direction towards Him. He's the joy that is set before us, and we run this race looking to Him. The author, He wrote it, and the finisher, He fulfilled it. He purposed it, He fulfilled it, everything. I don't know if everybody knows this, but I won't embarrass the whole Keller family, but William, you know, was at a park and thought got a mix up in communication and ended up at this park and nobody was there that he thought was supposed to be there. So he came home and went 7.5 miles home. And when I heard that, what I thought about, I told William this Thursday night, what I thought about when I heard that is when a believer is born of the Spirit of God, and he's given faith to see Christ and behold Christ and see at the end of that course, there's Christ and there you are in Christ. He knows the way home. That believer born of God knows the way home. And he doesn't turn to the left and he doesn't turn to the right. He doesn't go into a stranger's house and ask some stranger to bring him home. He doesn't go and because he knows the way. He knows how to get there. That's what William told him. I knew how to get home. And he said he ran some, and then he walked some. But he was going the same direction the whole time going home. That's what a believer does who's been born of the Spirit of God. We may not go at the same pace. We may run some, and we may walk some. But we always go in the same direction. We're in Christ the way, and we're following Him and walking after Him. He's the shoes on our feet. All right, that's our worthiness. Christ is our worthiness, accepted of holy God right now. All right, here's the second thing. Remember that Christ is our life. He is our life. We have two ordinances as believers. They're beautifully simple. And they're beautifully profound. They're beautifully simple, and they beautifully set forth to us the lover of our souls. The first one is baptism. Baptism. The believer is only baptized one time. You know why? Because the water represents a grave. The water represents a grave. We went in to the grave one time in Christ Jesus. We were buried. We were crucified with Him. We were buried with Him. And when a believer went into that grave, the body of our sins was put off. The body of our sins died right there. And when He came out of that grave, we rose with Him in newness of life. And we're seated with Him in glory. And that's what we're declaring in baptism. I've been crucified with Christ, and I'm risen with Him. I'm seated in glory with Him. It's done. It's finished. The work is accomplished. There's nothing else for me to do to gain any kind of acceptance. I don't need to do anything to try to gain acceptance. It's done. And the second ordinance we have is the Lord's table. A table represents life. A table represents... We come to our tables and our homes repeatedly, continually, because we got to eat. We got to drink, and we continually come to that table. And this table is reminding us that we continually have our life in Christ the living bread, in Christ the living waters, and we continually eat upon this bread. And we must. Look at John 6:55. He said, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." That's what it is to eat his flesh and drink his blood, is to dwell in him and him in you. It's being made one in him and feeding upon him by faith, by the hearing of faith. And he says, verse 57, is this too much? Is this too much that God had? It's not too much for a believer. It's a great blessing to a believer. Look, this is the same as him when he walked this earth. Verse 57, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Just as Christ lived and walked by the Father in this earth, we live by him, and we walk by him, and we feed upon him. He said there, take, eat. He said, take, drink. That's what he said. Many think that life in Christ consists of making a decision for Christ and joining a church, being baptized. Vainly imagine that, just like they vainly imagine that coming and partaking of this, this is just bread and it's just wine. That's all it is. And many people vainly imagine that by taking of that, somehow they've got something. They got some kind of life. They have something by those acts that they call acts of faith. Well, this is what the Scripture says. The just shall live by faith. They shall live by faith. Faith in Christ is not an act of life. It's a way of life. It's a continual life and living upon Christ, who is our life. Brethren, it must eat and drink natural bread. We have to eat and drink natural bread. We have to eat and drink Christ our meat. Not once. We must eat and drink continually every day, or we die. Or we die. Remember, that's what we're being reminded here. When we come to this table and we take this natural bread and this natural wine, we're being reminded Christ is our life. He's our bread, and we live upon him. Let me ask you this. This is what, when Satan comes, and he comes, our adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And when he comes and he begins to tempt, he begins to whisper, he begins to speak things in our heart, in our ear. And you walk around with those things. You find yourself, these things that come to your mind. Whenever Christ, as soon as he was baptized, he was taken into the wilderness by the Spirit of God immediately to be tried. And when he went into the wilderness, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. And Satan came to him, and this is what he said to him. If you be a child of God, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you make these stones bread? Make these stones bread. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone. And when we take this bread and this wine, you hear Christ Jesus the Lord saying to you, believer, we don't live by natural bread alone. We live upon every word, the living word, Christ the true bread from heaven that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, that comes forth from heaven. That's our life. That's where we live. That's where we live. If he's provided bread enough for us in Christ Jesus, bread enough for our souls in Christ Jesus. He says, I'll provide bread enough for your table, for your earthly table. So that when Satan comes to you and tempts you and says, give everything to make these stones bread. Find life in these stones here below. The Lord God whispers to you, Christ our Lord, and He says, I'm the bread. I'm the bread. And all your daily trials, every one of them, remember Christ is our life. That's what we're being reminded of. Do you feel like, sometimes you feel like, I feel like I live such a lowly existence in this world. Christ did from the beginning to the end. Do you feel like sometimes that you're slandered by men? That you're spoken falsely against? Christ was continually when He walked this earth. You think about Lot. That's what we're coming to in 2 Peter. It says Lot, he went down into Sodom and Gomorrah. You know why he went down there? Because he got into an argument with Abraham. And it looked to him, Abraham said, you pick whatever one of these lots you want. And Lot said, Sodom and Gomorrah, that looks very fertile. I'll take that. And he went down there. And it ended up being a very prosperous place. And the scripture says, this man who was just by God, it says his righteous soul, his soul was vexed when he lived there amongst those people. Is your soul become vexed living in this world, walking through this world as a stranger? If Lot's soul was vexed living in that place, imagine Christ Jesus, our holiness, the righteous, holy one that walked through this earth, how his righteous soul was vexed when he walked through this earth. Remember this, he's our life, he's our bread, he's our shield, he's our defender in all these things. Or do you suffer, in all our suffering, and everything we suffer in this life, remember Christ is our life in all our suffering. Remember what he suffered. Remember Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Next time we suffer, next time you suffer something, you remember Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went into that garden, and he's about to go forth and be made the cursed thing that he hates. He's about to go forth and bear the sin of his people in his own body on the tree. And Satan is trying his best to get him to turn away from God. Trying his best. And Christ Jesus He sweat great drops of blood. When you suffer, remember that Christ is our life. Remember Him suffering before the cruel soldiers. Those soldiers took Him in there and they stripped Him absolutely down to nothing. They stripped Him completely, totally naked. Naked. You imagine how shameful that was to treat Him. And they blindfolded Him and they balled up their fist and ran back and just punched Him hard as they could with their fist and said, who hit you? Tell us who hit you if you know so much. Tell us who hit you. They spit in His face. They spit upon Him. Spit upon Him. They you know how bad it hurts to pull. It hurts me. Brings tears to my eyes to pull one hair out of your eyebrow they just reached and grabbed His beard and just snatched by the handfuls the hair out of His face. And then they took that crown of thorns. You know how a crown of thorns burns? If you ever get stuck by a thorn, it burns. And they took a crown of thorns and they just forced it down on the Savior's head, into His skin, into His brow. Figure that burning, piercing thorn. You have a thorn in your flesh? Remember that thorn. Remember those thorns that He bore in His flesh. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And He tells us in all this suffering, I'm your life. I'm your bread. I'm your strength. And especially remember Christ on the cross and what He suffered on the cross. He's hanging there between heaven and earth, made sin in place of His people. And His visage so marred more than any man, His form more than the sons of men. And He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You know why? You who are believers, you who've been born of His Spirit, called by His grace, taught something of this gracious, wonderful suffering that He bore, do you know why He suffered? When He gave that bread and that wine, He said, this is my body broken for you. This represents my blood shed for you. And for you, by that suffering, He made full, complete atonement with God. He made full, complete justification before God's holy God and His holy law. He made full, complete satisfaction of God. He fully reconciled His fallen children to God fully. When you hear Him cry, it is finished. You hear Him crying for you, it is finished. That's what every believer, that's what we need to be reminded of continually when we suffer. Because He was forsaken of God for you, you'll never be forsaken of God, ever. You realize that? You realize that? When everything in this world's a bitter cup, when everything in this world is we've been brought to that hour where we're just suffering like we've never suffered before, and it's the worst thing we've ever endured. Remember this. Come to His throne of grace. Remember Him. Remember Him. He knows the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Come to Him. He'll give you life in your heart. He'll give you strength in your soul. He'll give you peace in the inner man. He'll give you life where life is. So that you can say as He said, now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Before this hour came out unto this hour. Father, glorify Your name. That's what He'll give His people heart to pray in our inner man. Father, I've been brought to this hour on purpose. I haven't been brought here by mistake. Father, glorify Your name. Just glorify Your name. That's what He does. And we're coming to the hour of death, and we'll remember Christ as our life in that hour. He said He obeyed the Father right up until the end. He didn't. His Spirit wasn't taken from Him. Our Lord was in control the whole time. He did what He did willingly the whole time. And the Lord Jesus said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Into Thy hands I commend my spirit. You know who God's hands are? Christ's hands. They're Christ's hands. And into Christ's hands we trust all. All into His hands. Who when He was sitting at that table with his apostles, and He was sitting there, who took the bread and broke it and gave it to them and said, eat this? His hands did. His hands did. Who's feeding you now? Do you hear Him? Can you rejoice in what He's done? What He's done? If He's fed you once, He will continue to feed you until the end. Trust everything into His hands. But then remember Christ in this time. This is when we need to remember Him the most, I think. How often do your sins burden you? How often do you hear Satan come to you and say, if you were really a child of God, you wouldn't think this way. You ever think that about yourself? You ever walk around and think, if I was really God's child, I wouldn't think this way. I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't say this. If I was really His child, I wouldn't say this. I wouldn't do this. We want to be free from sin. But you know, brethren, Satan comes and says that to make you think you're not His child. But Christ says to us, He says, you remember Me. You remember My suffering. You remember what I've done. You remember that when I went into that grave, I put away your sin. You remember when I came out of that grave, you came out with Me. You remember now that where I'm seated, you're seated. You remember now that your acceptance with God is in Christ Jesus, not in you. And don't turn again to that bondage. And don't turn again to that sinful flesh. And don't turn again to that horrid thing called our flesh. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. I know when my sin is ever before me and I begin to just look at these things. I don't want to sin. I do not want to sin. And believers, I know you sitting here, you don't want to sin. You just don't want to think thoughts that are against God. You don't want to do anything against God. You want to be free from this presence of this sin once and for all. I know you do. I do. I do too. We want to be free from it. But He came to save sinners. That's who He came to save. Don't let your sin make you flee from Christ. Let your sin make you flee to Him. To Him. Come to Him and confess everything to Him. Come to Him and say, Father, I don't want to sin. I am sin. I don't want to sin. All I do is sin. I don't want to do it. He says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. When all around my soul gives way, He's all my hope and stay. All my hope and stay. I was on a river one time, and we were at a camp, and Melinda bought me a watch for my birthday. That's what made me think of this. I only ever had one watch before that was really a real nice watch. And it's why I've never had a nice watch since. I had been swimming in the river, and I took that watch off when I went swimming in the river, and I set it down on a little walkway there on this houseboat I was on, and I set that watch in my clothes and stuff there, and I jumped in the river and was swimming. And when I came back to get my clothes, I picked up my shirt. And when I picked up my shirt, I had laid my watch on top of it, so I'd see my watch first, you know. And when I picked up my shirt, that watch flipped in the air. A 14-karat gold Elgin watch is what it was. It flipped in the air, and it landed on that walkway on the side of that houseboat. And there was little spaces in between those boards on that houseboat. And it landed right on one of those boards, right by that little spot. And my buddy Will McGee was with me. I looked at Will and I said, whew, man, I'm glad that thing didn't go in the river. Whew, did you see how close that come to going in the river? And I reached down to get it. And when I reached down to get it, I touched it and it went right in the river. Right in the river. Don't let this truth that Christ is setting before us slip out of our hands, slip out of our memory, slip out of our conscience, slip out of our heart and out of our soul like that watch slipped out and went in that river. Remember Him. Remember Him continually. Here's the last thing. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. And look at verse 16. Paul said, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? You know what communion is? We use the word most commonly, community. Community. You know where you live? You live in a community. Your neighbor that lives by you, they live right there with you. They're with you in that community. This blood and this wine and this bread we bless, it's the communion of our hearts together. Together. Look at verse 17. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. That one bread is Christ, the living bread. The scripture says of the early saints in Acts 2:46, they continuing daily with one accord, in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You know where all their hearts were set? All their hearts were united in Christ Jesus. They were all united in this one communion of His body together. He's the head, and His church is the body, and we're members in particular of that body. Each one of us, we have communion with each other, and we take of that bread, and we drink of that spiritual meat, and that spiritual drink, and that spiritual meat is Christ our rock. Look with me over at Proverbs 25. If you want to, turn to Song of Solomon, verse 8, that I read to you in the beginning, in our scripture reading. But in Song of Solomon, verse 8, in verse 6, set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thine arm. And he's telling us, for the love of Christ is strong as death. And look what he says about it at the end of verse 6. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which have the most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be, it'd just be contempt to try to give everything to equal the love that Christ has shown to his children, whereby he's made us one. Look with me over at now at Proverbs 25. Go back to your left there. Proverbs 25. When your soul's cast down within you, when even your dearest brother disappoints you and treats you as if he was an enemy to you, do we long at when we're in that place and do we long for miserable comforters? Do we long for somebody to come and just be rail on us and all those things when we're cast down? Well, in those times, brethren, remember the love of Christ for you when you were as an enemy to Him, whereby He made us one with each other. The love of Christ for His child is like coals of fire. They're the most vehement flame. Many waters can't quench that love. Many floods can't drown that love. Now look here at Proverbs 25:21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If you treat it as if one another treats you as if they were an enemy to you, just know they're hungry. Just know they're thirsty. For what? Christ the bread, Christ the water. If your enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Christ the bread, Christ the living water. Look, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. You see, when we were enemies, hungry and thirsty, Christ gave us his life. He gave us his bread and his blood, the water of life to drink. And in so doing, he heaped coals of fire upon us. He heaped love upon our head, which many waters can't quench and no flood can drown. So let's comfort each other. Let's strengthen one another to remember Christ our life. He's the nourishment of our inner heart. He's the giver of every grace whereby we have precious communion with God and with each other. Let nothing ever attempt to sever this communion we have with each other in Christ. Nothing. Now let me give you one final word. The Scripture tells us, Paul said, take heed to yourselves. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Don't come to this table carelessly. Don't come to hear the gospel carelessly. And don't come to this table carelessly. Don't come here carelessly. This is the remembrance of Christ. He said, this do in remembrance of me. And this remembrance is in spirit. Listen now. This remembrance is in spirit. We didn't see him in the flesh. Nobody here saw him in the flesh. This is not a remembrance of a historical things. We're not remembering him after the flesh. This is a remembrance after the Spirit, by the Holy God, by the Spirit of God. That's what this is. What we have never known, we cannot remember. He says, discern the Lord's body. That's a spiritual discernment. We can't discern his body. We can't discern these things that I'm telling you about and delight in them until Christ has been formed in our souls by the Spirit of God. And so it's better not to eat than to eat if Christ alone is not all your worthiness. If Christ is not all your worthiness, if he's not all your life, if he's not your communion with God and with his people, it's better not to eat of this table at all. For he that eateth drinketh damnation to himself. But to you whom Christ is all, and that's what he is, brethren, to every sinner who's called by his grace and born of his Spirit, Christ is all to us. Christ is all to us. Now to us who he says this to, he says this do. He says this do. As disobedient as it is for a sinner who's yet trusting in his own worthiness to come to this table, as disobedient as it is for a man who's trusting in his own worthiness to come to this table, so it is for those Christ has made worthy not to come to this feast that he's prepared. It's just that disobedient. One time when I was younger, my grandmother has always served in her kitchen. The Lord gave her a heart for Christ, and he gave her a heart to serve right where he put her. And what he'd given her a gift to do is cook. And that woman can cook. I'm telling you, she can cook. And she loves to cook. And when she cooks, she puts a feast on that table. I mean, there's just room enough for everybody to sit down at that table with their plate, because it's covered in a feast. And one time she cooked for us, and I was younger. And I was off playing, and she said, it's ready. And everybody went to the table. And I was off playing. And my grandfather said, son, out of respect for the cook, out of respect for the one who's prepared this, come to the table when she calls you to the table. The Lord said, I've spread this feast. I've prepared this meal for you. The Lord said, I've done all this for my people. And the Lord says, come to the table. And when he says come, we come to the table. Take, eat, and take, drink. And he said, and this do in remembrance of me. Remembering, he's all my worthiness with the Father. Remembering, he's all my life. I continually feed upon him and am preserved and strengthened by his Spirit in this world. And remembering, he's my communion with my brethren. I've been made one with you. Amen.